Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Okay, let's try that one more time. Word. Okay, that's a little better. Let's see your pens. Let's see your bulletins. Let's open your bulletins up to the memory verse. My brothers and sisters, we are gathered here today. Let's look at that verse. It says, let's read that on three. One, two, three. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Inside left flap of the bulletin. Let's read it one more time. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Jesus is getting ready to be betrayed by Judas. His disciples are up on the Mount of Olives praying, and they fall asleep. Jesus comes over to them and says, that you couldn't pray with me for 1 hour. Last week, I challenged you to pray for a long time, hour, 2 hours, what have you, all night. We talked about doing an all-night prayer meeting. We're planning a bunch of prayer meetings, so we'll keep you informed on that. It was a 7:15 service only. Actually, I asked them, would they be willing to pray all night, and many of them were excited. So we're praying about and trying to plan when and where we can have an all-night prayer meeting. Would anybody be interested in coming to something like that, going on all-night prayer meeting? Okay. Don't be coming with your pillows and falling asleep on a brother, you know. But that's what Peter did. He fell asleep. Jesus says, couldn't you pray with me for 1 hour? What I want to talk to you today about is to empower you with very simple ABC steps to pray for as long as you want. Hour, 2 hours. Matter of fact, when we have our all-night prayer meeting, we will follow this format. It's so simple. And you've heard me say it many times. It's all sippa. But what I want to do today is put meat on all sippa. And if you don't know what all sippa is, I'll explain it to you in a minute. But I want you to prepare to take notes. And matter of fact, on the back of your bulletin, there's a notes section. I'm going to give you some notes, but I want you to leave the bottom two-thirds for all sippa. So the stuff I'm going to tell you right now, just take a little bit of space and just write these words and verses, and you can look them up later. Before you pray, especially when you're going to pray for a long time, it's good to prepare yourself to pray. In other words, you're getting ready to meet God. You're getting ready to communicate with God. You're getting ready to have contact with God. That's what prayer is, communication with God. So before you do that, you should prepare yourself for that meeting. Okay? If I call one of my employees in for a meeting, if they come in there without a pen and paper, go back out. Come with a pad and paper, because I don't want to waste my breath telling you something you're going to forget. Come in there with a pad and paper, be on time, and be ready to listen. Be ready to respond. Be ready to give me and your input, take my input. You don't just come there and not prepare. When you go to God, how much more should you go to God ready to meet God? Amen? Okay. Amen? Okay. So when you go to God, right, one, you have to believe that there's only one God and he is it. Mark 12, verse 31. Just write down one God, Mark 12, 31. They said to Jesus, you have spoken well, for there is one God and there is no other but he. You have to believe the God you're praying to is the only God. There is only one God. There are many, many false religions in this world. God is not schizophrenic. Okay, he didn't say, okay, I'm going to make these rules for these people, these rules for these people. He's only one, but there's a devil. Master of confusion, one God. You have to also believe that there's no place else you can go to get the words of life except Jesus Christ. Write down John 6, 66 to 69. Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have to believe that God has the words of eternal life. And guess what? He's the only one. He is the only one. Okay? You have to believe. You have to get a place. My encouragement to you is you can pray anywhere, and please pray everywhere, but there should be a place that you go to regularly, A place, a physical place that you go to pray. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 3, 8, and 9, write that down, 1 Samuel 3, 8, and 9, for a place. Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if it shall be that if he calls you, you say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And the Bible says, Samuel went and lay down in his place. Okay? Do you have a chair you sit in? Don't lay in your bed. Do you have a rock you sit on? Do you have a tree you sit under? Is it your car? Where is it? And, you know, maybe you go work out real early in the morning, and after you work out, you go sit on a hill in your car. I did that for about a year when I was working out real early in the morning, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock with these guys. And I'm not a morning person, so that was about as early as I can get up. So I would go work out and then come out of working out. I have my Bible and my pen, which you're going to see in a minute, and go sit up on a hill. That was my place for that time. So pick a place that you go. Okay, quiet, no distractions. Also have a pen and paper. Write down pen and paper and write down Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain. When God speaks to you, write it down. Hey, you could be sitting there and anywhere, and God could just say, I want you to start this business. I want you to start this ministry. You could be driving down the street downtown and see homeless people, and God could say, feed them. Write it down. And then go someplace, say, speak, God, and write down everything he tells you. Write the vision. If you can't write it, you don't know it. If you have an idea for a business, an idea for a book, an idea for anything, if you can't write it down in words, you don't know it. It takes work to get thoughts into words that people can understand. Also, you have to have faith. Write down faith. Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Also, be ready to act. Write down James 2:20. Action. When you pray, be prepared to do what God tells you to do. Don't be like this. Oh, dear God, I just pray you get them saved. And God says, I want to use you. Oh, no, God, not me. I just want them to get saved. Then don't ask me then. You have to be willing, God, whatever you want me to do, however you want to use me and all that I have, my contacts, my resources, whatever, it's all yours. So what do you want to do? Okay? Pray. You have to have your Bible. Pray the word. Pray the word. The Bible says in Psalm 1:1-2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Don't pray without the Bible. Now, let me back up. Because you can not have your Bible and pray. When you pray, use the Bible. In other words, if you say, dear God, I pray, do this for me, please do this for me. Okay, that's fine. But then tell him, God, you said that if I call to you, you will tell me great mighty things. In Jeremiah 33:3. I'm calling to you, tell me great mighty things. God, you said you would do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or imagine. I'm asking you something that's really big right now. God, you said that if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from unrighteousness, which is 1 John 1:9. We're going to look at that later. Write that out. 1 John 1:9. You said in 1 John 1:9 that if I confess my sin, you're faithful. And write it out in your journal. And not only are you going to learn the word, not only is the word going to transform your mind and your heart, God's going to be like, look at that. He's holding me to my promises. And God's got to do it. Nah, 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 nah. Okay. Now, I want you to write on your piece of paper A, and then under A, W, under W, C, A, W, C, under C, I, under I, P, and under P, A. And give a little space. You're going to write little notes in there, little verses, little ideas. If you use this acrostic, your prayer life will be transformed. This book, The Hour to Change the World, is where I got the idea. They have even more topics you can pray in, singing, all kind of stuff. It's a great book. And what I want to challenge you to do is when you pray, is to pray in one topic at a time. A is for admire God or thanking God or praising God. That's what the A is for. The W is for wait. Sit quietly before God. The C is for confession. Confessing sin. The I is for interceding, praying for other people. The P is for petition, pray for yourself. And the A is for admire God. Now turn to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. A great habit to get in is when you pray, is to pray God's word. Apply God's word to your prayers. Direct God's word to people you're praying for. Use God's word in your requests. Let God's word shape your requests. In other words, you may be praying, Lord, I pray that you would get this person and hurt them. Well, does God's word give you the justification to pray that? It does say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Okay, God, you apply your vengeance, whatever that is. I'm not going to be in it. I'm not going to tell you, you know, to hurt them. I'm just going to tell you, repay them for what they did to me, and I'm going to leave it to you. God made you choose to love them. That's up to God, though. So don't just pray anything and think the Bible will justify it because you are a Christian. Let the Bible guide and direct your prayers. When you ask to be blessed, well, what does that mean? Well, these are the verses I mean, and we'll see that in a minute. But let's look at this one. When you praise God, let's praise him according to his word. Look what it says in verse 1, chapter 150 of Psalm. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. And praise him according to his excellent greatness. You know what it says? God, I'm going to praise you according to what you have done. Now, remember, whenever you're praying, my challenge to you is to write it out. Okay? So what you do is you write this verse. Lord, you say I should praise you in your sanctuary, in your firmament, according to your mighty act. Boom, boom, boom. Lord, thank you for this mighty act. Enable me to buy a house. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my food. Thank you for my health. Thank you for I could breathe today. You think that little things, you think God doesn't love that? You're wrong. He loves that. The kid that I was telling you about that had the pellet in his eye, he was in intensive care. I went up to see him. And when I was standing there, a nurse came up to me. She goes to the rock. She says, how you doing? I go to the rock. Boom, 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 boom. We started talking. I says, can you take me around and see all the other people here in intensive care? So we started going around looking at all these people. Kid, 15 years old, was spraying graffiti. The owner of the building came out and beat him in the head with a baseball bat. He's in a coma. Got tubes in his head. 15 years old. Body all swelled up. They're filling his body with fluid. Keep his blood pressure up. And now, you know, I'm learning. You know, she's telling me all about what they do to help keep these people alive. 15. Lord, thank you. Thank you that when I did stuff like that, no one hit me in the head. You know how many kids paint graffiti? And we don't know the kid. We don't know any of the circumstances, but was it worth getting hit in the head with a baseball bat? I doubt it. But thank you, Lord, that the things that I did that were mischievous, evil, wrong, I didn't get hit in the head with a baseball bat. Lord, heal that kid. Right next to him was another guy, grown man, in a, I think, a car accident, a motorcycle accident. All his teeth are knocked out except one. His bones in his face are broken. His face is literally crooked. Both his legs broken. I don't remember if he had broken arms, but a lot of broken bones. Out. Just, you know, I don't know if it's a coma or medically induced coma or whatever. But he was out and hanging on to his life. Lord, thank you that I could walk out of here today. You ever thank God for that? You just take it for granted. I was running on the beach the other day. Lord, thank you, I can run. Thank you, I can get tired. Thank you that I live in San Diego and can run on the beach on Thanksgiving and not be freezing. You ever see people here from out of town? They're from Wisconsin. They're just walking around with no shirt on, right? White as flour, right? Just never seen sun before. And they're just like so happy. But then they got to go back. My wife and I, someone gave us a coupon to stay at the Dell. I love going there with coupons. Walk up to the front counter, $9,000 a night, right? How will you be playing for this, sir? Bam! Coupon, baby. Would you like Valley Park? No, I park myself. I can't be running on $80. I'll walk from down the street. We're at the Dell. And, I talked to everybody. I'm a social butterfly, and we're out there, and we started talking. I happened to have a yellow sweater on and red sweatpants, and this man and his wife were walking up, and he had a yellow sweat top and red sweatpants. And I was like, we're twins, man. And we start talking. He's from Philly. And they were going back that day. I was like, brother, I'll be here tomorrow. Next year. And we talked for 20 minutes. And, Lord, thank you I live here. Thank you I can talk. Thank God. And write it down. How long will it take you to thank God? Write it down. 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Could you take a half hour and thank him? You could. Lord, I thank you for my husband, my wife, my kids. Lord, I thank you for last year when I got sick. I thank you for when my car got stolen, all the lessons I learned. I thank you that I got fired from my job because I didn't do a good job. I learned so much from it. As a matter of fact, Lord, I thank you for teaching me patience, discipline, boom, 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 and write and take your time. And let God just listen to his children acknowledge his goodness. That's it. That's prayer. Are you with me? That's prayer. Take your time. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. God, you are good. And you know what's going to happen to you? God's going to bring to your mind more and more stuff you could thank him for. And you'll be like, man, God, I got to go. Why? Wow, I gotta go watch TV. I gotta go eat. You don't have to do anything. Because without me, you have no life. So I want you to thank me. Hey, Miles, remember when you were 12 and this and this and this happened? Your life could have gone that way. Just like that. But it went this way. Thank me for that. Yeah, Lord, thank you. Okay, W, next to wait, write Psalm 46:10, and let's look it up. Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. When your life is falling apart, when you're stressed, when you're lonely, when you're hurting, when you're brokenhearted, when you're depressed, be still. Chill. I'm God. God's still on the throne. He's still in control. One of my places to pray is out in my yard. I have a park, canyon park behind me, so there's really nothing back there. There's a lot of birds, hawks flying around, doves. And the doves, this dove came on my fence, and he was calling his woman. You know how animals, you can know. Where are you? how I know that he was calling his woman is because she came. And they kind of, ooh, ooh, here I am, ooh. They're not worried about anthrax, not worried about the economy, not worried about, you know, the Chargers season. Not worried about any of that. They're just, ooh, ooh. God. That's what God wants you to be. Relax. Relax. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And when you're sitting and waiting, it's you're trying to clear your mind and just think of the Lord, and what's going to happen is all these thoughts are going to come into your mind. You know what you do? You write them down. Just write down everything that comes to your mind. Because a lot of times you just need to get it out of your mind. Okay, I got to call this person later. I got to do this later. I got to do this. Okay, get that out of your mind. It's like someone explained to me like this. It's like a river. And you're in a river and the boat's going by. And these are all the thoughts that come into your mind. Just let them go. Let them go by. Just sit there and let it go by. Don't grab the thought and try to entertain it. Just write it down. Let it go. Get another thought. Let it go. And let them all go by and then focus on the Lord. And this is something you'll get good at over if you keep doing it over and over again. You've got to practice it because it's very difficult to clear your mind, especially people whose mind races. Matter of fact, one of the things I thank God last night as I was writing in my journal, I said, Lord, thank you for turning my mind off. Because I can never turn my mind off. I'm thinking about this, thinking about this, thinking about this, and I can't stop. And I noticed the last couple of days, he turned it off. I was able to, like, be normal. C, confession. Confession. Confession means to say the same thing or to agree. In other words, you're a liar. Yes, I am. I confess. I agree. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 12. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Dear God, please cleanse me of pride that I don't see. Please cleanse me of lack of faith that I don't acknowledge. Please cleanse me of arrogance, a lustful spirit, a gossiping tongue. Please cleanse me of that. I'm doing it, and maybe I don't know why I'm doing it. Maybe I don't realize I do it because I do it so often. Lord, cleanse me of that. And when you're writing in your confession, write your sins. Don't write this down. Dear God, you know, I wasn't so good today, but, you know, I'm sorry. Come on now. Dear God, I was prideful. I lied. I thought wrong things about that person when I looked at him or her. Be specific and be honest, and don't let no one see this, you know what I'm saying? Between you and God. So lock it up. But don't be honest with God, because the more you give to God, the more he can bless it. The more you of your heart you give to God, the more of your heart he can change and transform. Okay? Dear God, I talk too much. Dear God, I had to be in control, and I kicked everybody out of the conversation. Or whatever it is you did, be honest with God. Turn to Psalm 139:23. In your confession time, ask God to search your heart. Remember, the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That means we don't even know our own sin. You don't even know it. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But the Bible says here In Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Search me, God. Can you imagine getting on your knees or in the car? Lord, can you show me my sin? God would love to hear you say that. Lord, show me when I do this. Show me if this is wrong. Show me why it's wrong. Show me how I can correct it. Show me, God. Lord, I don't like that person, and I purposely avoided them. I purposely cut them out of the conversation. I purposely got my car real quick and drove off because I didn't want to deal with them. Lord, was I wrong? I'm sorry. Show me, God. Was I being selfish? Was I being a hypocrite? Show me, God. I don't want to witness to them because I don't want them to get saved. I want them to go to hell. Is that wrong? Yes, it's wrong. I'm sorry, God. But be honest. You know what? If you're really, 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 really honest, our sins are not only wicked and or evil and or very childish, selfish. We're like little children. You can be 90 years old and you'll do stuff for the same reason you did when you were 5. I don't like him. I don't want them. I don't want to be with them. I don't like the way they dress. I don't like the way they talk. They irritate me. Little kid stuff. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to be that way. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, you can write that down on the confession, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of unrighteousness. God will not only forgive you, he will cleanse you of the propensity to do it. He'll cleanse you of thoughts. He'll cleanse you of desires. I used to use cocaine. I used to smoke marijuana. I smoked marijuana for 8 years on and off. I used to think about it. I used to spend money. Call the dealer over every 5 minutes. If he's not there, call him again 5 minutes later. I don't do it anymore. I used to do it. No, I don't. God. He can change you. And so you know what? You could pray, Lord, God, please cleanse me of all the junk that is no good. Go ask somebody for forgiveness that you have hurt. Ask them to forgive you. Hey, you know what? I offended you last week. I fronted you off. I purposely ignored you. I lied to you. I've been mean to you for the last 3 years. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Matter of fact, I is in a session praying on behalf of somebody else. That's the next one. Write down John 17, the whole chapter. And we're going to look at some verses in John 17. Before we look at the verses in John 17, I want to read something to you. 2 weeks ago, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, I talked about praying in the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What that says is that sometimes you're praying, you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you to God. In other words, you're going, dear God, I just don't know what to do, and my business is falling apart, I got all these bills, and Lord, would you please help me, I just got to pay. And you're stumbling words, the Holy Spirit's going, Father. Yes. They need a new job. They need to correct their attitude. They need to stop being snotty. That's why no one wants to be around them. And can you have their cousin pay their rent today? Because he was going to do it anyway. He's got money. He don't need it. Can you give it to him? Yes. And you go, I don't know, God. And next thing you know, boom, something happens you didn't ask for. Because the Spirit interceded for you. Romans 8:26, if you want to read it yourself later on. Romans 8:26, the Spirit interceded for you. Intercession is when you do that on behalf of somebody else. You, people come to me all the time at the door. Can you pray for me? That's intercession. Can you remember me when I'm gone to pray for me? And I'm going to God on their behalf. Here's how you can have fun with it. Okay? Well, matter of fact, let's look at John 17. We'll look at it this way real quick. John 17. John 17 is really the Lord's Prayer. If you ever hear people talk about the Lord's Prayer, this is really the Lord praying. Okay? But it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's really a form of how God tells us to pray. But the Lord's actual prayer is John 17. So if you ever hear someone say, no, I really know the Bible. It's really John 17, but just so you know. Look what it says in verse 9. It's the Lord praying. He prays for believers. He prays, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Look at verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. The first thing you can pray for are believers, Christians, that they read the Bible, that they become one with the Father in intimacy, as Christ is one with the Father, that they have boldness to preach the word, that they have faithfulness, that they have a desire to pray, that they have a desire to be holy, that you keep them from temptation. You know, my kids, my daughters are 15, actually my daughter turned 16. I'm thinking, my daughter's 16. And my other daughter's going to be 15 in January. When they leave the house, Lord, protect them. My son's 13. Going to be 13 this month. Protect him, her, both of them, all of them. Give him a pure mind. Give him discernment to know who to hang out with, who to be around. My son went to a party the other day at this one of his classmates' home. And Christian people, boom, boom, boom. But, you know, kids, 12 and 13, are doing stuff we did when we were 16. Now, that wasn't going to go on at that house, but you never know what kind of kids may bring stuff in. Lord, protect him. May the family be godly, which they were. May the family be supervising the whole thing, which they did. But protect them. Give us discernment of where to let him go and where not to let him go. And so that's intercession. You're praying. Send an angel, an extra angel with him to whoop on anybody that tries to get him. So pray for Christians. But look what it says in verse 20. He prays for non-believers. It says, I do not pray for these alone, the believer, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, and are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Lord, I want to pray for the people who aren't saved, who are going to be saved. This is the fun part. Pick somebody out. Please write this down. Pick one and write this name down. Write the name of one person who's not saved that you want to be saved. Just one. Just one. Write the person of somebody who is sick that you want to be healed. Just one. Just one. I was at a Bible study Thursday, and the Lord put it on my heart and the woman who was hosting it to pray for healing. There were many people there sick, and one of the people who was sick was a woman who has breast cancer. She had both breasts removed and 10 lymph nodes, all full of cancer. We pray for her and many other people. This was Thursday. I got a call last night. She had a test, bone scan, CAT scan, no sign of cancer. Now I'm thinking, I'm tripping. I'm walking in the house. I'm like screaming at my wife. What? Well, tell me more. Because I didn't talk to the lady, but they were here this morning and told me the story. That they had all these lymph nodes all full of cancer. And then they do the bone scan. It's nowhere to be found. They don't know. God. Now, the doctor cannot tell you, well, this is normal procedure. No. He says, this is unexplainable. That's God. Amen. Thank you. Somebody in here is excited. Amen. Thank you, lady in the lobby. I'm one of these people here dead. You need to come in here and fire these people up. Everyone's sitting there, oh, well, that's just a coincidence. I don't know. Y'all should be excited about that. You should get somebody and say, Lord, okay, I'm praying for you. You have no chance. None. I'm going to pray for you. Now, don't pray for them one time. Remember we talked about Luke 18, the widow that just bugged the judge. Here come the judge. You pray for the judge. Lord, I'm praying for Mary. I'm praying for Shaniqua. I'm praying for Leroy. I'm praying for Jimmy. I'm praying for Julio. I'm praying for all these people. And Lord, I want to get them saved. Now, don't pray that they get saved if you're not willing to go help them get saved. Don't pray if you want them to get healed unless you're willing to be used in the healing. Amen? Don't be saying, okay, God, you do it. Don't involve me. We talked about that in the very beginning of the message. You got to be prepared to go do something. P, petition. Before we go to P, pray for your enemies. Pick an enemy out, someone that you don't get along with. Ooh. Don't go there, cowboy. You got to pray that God would do something good to your enemies. Not bad. Lord, you know we don't get along. You know they get on my nerves. You know they irritate me. And you hear a little voice say, you irritate them too. You're just as much as an idiot as they are. But God, you don't understand. Yes, I do. But you didn't see what they did. Yes, I did. I know everything, fool. Okay, God. Well, just bless them then. Okay, then I'm going to use you to bless them. Amen, 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 amen. Prayer time is over. Look what Jesus says. Write down Matthew 5:43-44. Matthew 5:43-44. It says, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh. The Bible says if you love your enemy, it's like heaping burning coals in their head. You can't let them see your sweat. Hey, I love you, man. And you know, when you have victory like that over people and no one can irritate you, lady called my house, wanted to talk to my wife, wouldn't give me her name. I was like, what? She's not going to give me her name. Well, just tell her. I said, wait a minute. You're calling my house, you want to talk to my wife, you're not going to tell me your name? Well, I don't want you to give her name, and I just here's my number. I said, wait a minute. You're going to give me your number and tell her to call you, and she's not going to know who you are. What's your name? She says, well, I don't need to tell you. I'm her husband. Well, I'm not calling for you. I was like, you're calling my house? Dan. She hangs up on me. I was like, God, can I just make one exception? Get her. What's wrong with that woman? So I didn't know who it was. I told her, I said, Debbie, whoever this is, I want you to tell her. We're going to have to talk. We will talk. And I had to pray I had to pray about this because it irritated me big time. And I'm like, want to get in her face, say, look, you know, what's your problem? God's like, easy, cowboy, easy. I got to pray for that lady. I had to pray because it really irritated me. So I'm trying to figure out a good, fun way to get her. But that's biblical at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Now she goes, oh, hi, this is something. She has other names. I'll talk. And she called my house a day later and talked to my daughter and wouldn't give her name either. And now she's kind of telling us, but she's like, you know. But, you know, I got to pray for her because she got issues. I mean, if you call someone's house, you know, I mean, that's kind of like, I just have to pray for them. And I can't, I just can't do what I really would want to do. Because it wouldn't be right. It would be sin. It would be sin. I have a sin in my heart. Lord, forgive me. P, petition. And if you're out there thinking, man, how could he have sin in his heart? Hello. I'm not him.
I'm human too. I got to pray too. I got to, you know, ask for forgiveness every day. First Chronicles. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? God is good. First Chronicles 4:10. Petition. Bless me, God. Bless me. Write that. Just write it down. I'll read it to you because we're getting ready to end here. First Chronicles 4:10. Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause anybody pain. And God granted his request. Ask God to bless you. Nothing wrong with that. God's not going to bless you beyond anything he wants to bless you with. But he wants to bless. He wants you to ask him. Ask him. I ask specifically, Lord, I want to see people get healed. I want to see that. When I was in the hospital, here I am in the hospital, and I'm looking at these people dying, and I was like, what if you could be an angel? Think about that. And just come in and go. And they get better. Wouldn't you love to do that? I mean, maybe you don't want to do that. I think that would be the bomb. What's wrong with him? Oh, he's got a coma. He's never going to be out of it. He's just all, his brain is dead. All his organs have stopped and they're keeping him on a respirator. Okay. The dude sits up in bed. The nurse told me, she said, Miles, people all the time walk out of here healed and we have no explanation. She says, a kid was in here recently. He was that we pronounced him dead. He wasn't like no function dead, but he was so gone that they said there's no way he's going to live. He's dead. Even she said he's basically over the edge of coming back. She said for no reason at all, he got better and walked out the hospital. And he came back to say thank you. They just don't understand it. They have no. Wouldn't you love to do that? Oh, you need to start praying now. Lord, I want to do that. I want to do that. And you know what he's going to say? If you ask me every day for a year and a half, I might give you that ability. Because it's going to take me a year and a half to mold and shape your heart to believe it. Woo! Woo! You can pray that God bless you. I'll run through these real quick. Pray that God bless you spiritually. Write down Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, purify my heart. Lord, can you give me your heart, your mind? Can you bless me with spiritual discernment, a desire to pray, a desire to read the Bible, a desire to love my enemy? Can you give me that? Oh, God will give you that all day long. The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, give me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I want to be a holy man. Ask God for that. Lord, I want to be holy. The Bible, you can pray for a financial blessing. This is a funny one because God knows what he's doing. Listen to this verse. He says, you have robbed me. No, let me back up. Wouldn't you love for God to give you, bless you financially or in your business with so much that you can't handle it? Wouldn't that be a good problem to have? Say yes, because y'all know it'd be true. Okay. He says, you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me in this. Test me. Test me. You know, we're going to buy this building and all this stuff. It's going to be all this money. If everyone that calls us their church tithe, it'd be so easy. So easy. He says, test me, says the Lord, if you do this, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. You're like, God, give me money. Give me tithe. Oh, man. I'm letting you keep 90%. All I want is 10. That's what God. You give me 10, I'll give you 50 back. 20 back. I don't believe you. Okay. Keep your 10. I'll keep my 50. It's as simple as that. There's a church here in San Diego. I don't know if I have the faith to do this yet. Maybe next year, a year after. They had people pledge money and gave them money back guarantee. If you don't get blessed, we'll give you money back. Go to God. Say, God, I'm going to be faithful to do what you say. My tithe is 10%, which is a given. Offering is over and above that, which is whatever you want. You don't have to do that. But some people have the gift of giving, and they do. Lord, I want to see what you're going to do. And guess what? You can't smokescreen cash. Cash is cash. And when we have events, you can't just pray to sound guy, oh, we'll pay you, we'll just pray for you. No, he wants his money. And when you say, God, I'm committing my money to you, and you see God bless you with money, there's no coincidence in that. That's what he says here. Watch me. Test me. So you want to pray and you want God to bless you financially? Do what he says. Last one. Admire. A. Psalm 136. And we'll end with this. Psalm 136. And please remember, when you're praying, you're writing your prayers down and you're writing verses down. And as you pray and grow in the Lord year after year, you collect verses that you pray. As you're reading the Bible, you may see a verse jump out to you. Say, I want to pray that verse. And you add in your prayers. But look at this verse real quick. Psalm 136. And this is our last one. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to God of the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him alone, who alone does great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. Next verse. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him, and then put in your own deal. Put your words in the verse. Lord, your mercy endures forever because it's you who gave me health. It's you who gave me a job. It's you who sustains my marriage. It's you who gives me patience. It's you who gives me food and air to breathe. It's you who protect me from the terrorist. It's you. You're the one who got me safe on that plane and back. You, God, I'm acknowledging you. And you write it down, and you write it, and you write it, and you say, man, God did this. God did this. God did this. God did, man, God did everything. He did everything. Hey, man, whoever that lady is, I want to meet that lady outside. God did everything. So here's my challenge to you this week is to get a notebook. Get this book, get a notebook, whatever it is, and write down, hey, okay, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to write these verses down. You know, I'm going to find my own verses on praise. Man, look at that. I like that one. Boom. And take your time. Hour. Put aside an hour. Watch one less television show. Listen to one less CD. Run your mouth one less hour. Turn the phone off. Go someplace quiet and say, God, let's do this. And let me tell you something. Oh, I do it every day. And I give you this guarantee off the word and guarantee off my own personal experience. You will not be able to write down and keep track of all the amazing things God does in your life. You won't be able to. Amen. You won't be able to. You'll be like this. And then he did this. And then I got to tell you the story real quick. This guy came to me, plays football, play here at State. And played defensive back, linebacker. And he's 24. And he comes to me and says, hey, man, I got to talk to you. What's the matter? He says, I keep crying. I said, what do you mean? He said, I just start crying. I was at work, and I just started crying, and I couldn't stop. I was like, well, are you crying because, you know, they fired you crying? Or, nah, dude, I was just thinking of something you said, and I started crying, and I had to go talk to my manager. This is funny. So we go in the back, we're talking, and he says, he's been coming here ever since the series of prayers started, and he's going, I'm praying, and stuff is happening. Here's what he said. He says, I wanted to know what's going on. That's what he said. What's going on? I says, what's going on is God is hooking you up. He says, all this unexplainable miracle. He's telling me all this little stuff. I was praying for this dude, and all of a sudden he showed up. I was praying for an opportunity to play football, and I got a phone call the next day. It's all this stuff keeps happening, and I want to know what's going on.
I was like, God is blessing you, fool. It's called answered prayer. It's called God. I says, you know why you're crying? Because he's giving you his heart. He's giving you his heart. He's taking out your heart of stone because you got a hard heart. And he's putting his heart. And his heart is sensitive. It's sensitive. He's like, oh, man, it's a trip, man. I just cry. Spend an hour. Stop your world. Turn everything off. And sit and pray. Do it every day. Write out 2 pages of stuff. See what God does. Then pay attention. I promise you, your life will change. You will get addicted. You will pray in the morning. Then you'll be praying at night. You're gonna stop doing all this other stuff that's totally useless and a waste of time, and you're going to pray and see miracles happen. And I promise you, I guarantee you, because the Bible says, my guarantee means nothing, that God would do so much in your life, you won't be able to handle it. You won't be able to handle it. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for the lady out in the lobby. I pray she gets a seat in here next time. And I pray, Lord, that and I want to intercede on behalf of the Rock Church. Lord, my prayer is that you would grant them Matthew 5:6, that they would hunger and thirst for righteousness, that their soul would crave holiness, that their soul would crave a relationship with you, intimacy with you, hearing your voice, that their soul would crave spending time alone with you, quality time. Lord, I pray that for the Rock Church. And I pray today, Sunday, November, whatever it is, 18th, 19th, I don't know what date it is, today, that everybody would spend an hour writing AWCIPA and getting verses out and learn to pray. And they would hear your voice, and that you would do things in their life that is just ridiculously unexplainable. Lord, we pray for Garrett that you heal his eye. Give him his sight. We pray for the woman with cancer that is gone, gone, gone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The woman who got healed of cancer that we got the report about, she got saved that day. So she gets saved, gets prayed for, and she goes to the doctor, and God healed her. I got to go meet that lady right there. I got to go meet that lady.